Join me in the book of Ruth, and I'd like to read to you the entire chapter 1. The story of Elimelech, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab to live there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she left and was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. I pray the Lord would bless us this morning with a reading and understanding. Here we have the story of Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion are dead. And Naomi is left in Moab, and this is not a good place. She's left in Moab without a provider. She's left in Moab, which is a land foreign to God. Desperation, grief, the unknown stands before her. But as we will see, God has not forgotten Naomi. One of the questions before us, before her, has Naomi remembered God? Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem. She hears of God's visit to his people in Judah, and the famine has ended. She encourages her daughters-in-law to stay in Moab. And here is where we began to see this, the faith of Naomi began to have its struggles. As I said in the beginning, Naomi is a woman who reveals that she knows God. She offers a beautiful prayer for the people, for her daughters-in-law, which I'll go into here just in a moment. But she also says a couple of things that, A, reveals her struggles, but also reveals possibly that she's not as close to God as we would like. And I must admit, I have chored greatly with this chapter this week. I am challenged by the story of Naomi. Because in one light, I see a lady who is definitely struggling, definitely in desperation. Grief has entangled her. She uses words that would show a good reference and a good place that she has before God. But then she also says some things that you just want to go, Naomi. And I will try to point those out to you. So let's look at her actions. First, she hears of God's work in Bethlehem. The text is actually God visiting the people of Bethlehem. God visits his people. And in that visit to his people, the famine is ended. She decides to go back to Bethlehem. Now, here's the first thing we must consider. Why did she want to go back to Bethlehem? Well, we might think the reason is obvious. The famine has ended, so she wants to go back. But why does she want to go back? Is it because she hears of that famine ending and she's going where there is food and potentially family that can help her now that she has no provider? Or was it because her return to the land of her God and her family was something she wanted to do in obedience? The text is not clear. Was this because she knew being in Moab was wrong? And she wanted to obey the Lord's command and to be in favor of God and to be in that place of blessing, to be in Bethlehem? Or was this simply, like her husband, a very pragmatic move? She's hungry, has no provider, the famine has ended, she can go back to Bethlehem. Again, I am challenged by her actions, and the text, as I said, is not very clear in her reasoning. Naomi heads home, but she encourages Ruth and Orpah not to come with her. And here we see the stronger aspects of her faith. Look at this prayer. Look at these words in verses 8 and 9 that Naomi gives to her daughters-in-law. She says in verse 8, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. And listen to these words. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown your dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you that you will find rest in the home of another husband. Two things, kindness and rest. May the Lord show kindness to you. Now, this word kindness in the Hebrew, it is the word hesed. It's an incredibly important word in Old Testament text. We see it over and over and over again, and it describes God's relationship to his people, hesed. It means favor, that you have found favor in God's eyes, that you have done a kindly deed and God should restore, God should respond, God should show you the blessing of his favor. In the context, most of the time in the Old Testament, it means a steadfast love and faithfulness. May God show you, Orpah and Ruth, a steadfast love and faithfulness. Folks, this is covenant language. It shows that Naomi knows the covenant God made with his people. She is speaking some of the same words that she heard probably when she was younger. And what's more, even more favorable for Naomi is she's speaking of God's covenant and that it would be applied to a foreign people, the Moabites. God did not speak well of the Moabites. But here we see a wonderful thing that Naomi is doing for Ruth and for Orpah, desiring God to remember his covenant with a foreign people. As the conversation continues, Naomi realizes the pain and the challenge that awaits her. Look at verse 11. Naomi is still trying to consider to encourage her daughters not to come with her, daughters-in-law. She says, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there would still be hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait for them?" And then that final sentence of 13, "It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." Here she is painting a picture that is not pretty. She knows she is a widowed woman. She does not have a provider. She has no home. And in this land and this time, this is not favorable for a woman. Not to have a husband, not to have sons that could provide for her, not to have one of relationship that could take her. And so she's painting a picture for for Ruth and Orpah, saying, "This is not good, ladies. Don't come with me." Hopelessness, despair, there is no provision for Naomi. And here is where we begin to see Naomi's faith stumbling. And please, I don't want to be too hard on this lady. She's lost her husband. She's lost her sons. Being in a place where you've lost a child, I'm right there with her. But I kept saying, "Naomi, say the right thing here." Look at verse 14. "At all of this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her." Then listen to Naomi's words here. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." Why would anyone that just prayed for a covenant blessing upon this young lady seemingly be okay worshiping other gods? Again, I'm challenged greatly by Naomi's actions. Again, I don't want to be too hard on her. Would it not be Naomi's greatest desire if she understood God fully, and that God would provide, that she would want to take these two girls, even as hard as the life would be in Bethlehem? It would be obedient in Bethlehem. No promise of food, no promise of provider, no promise of home, but yet there is obedience to the truths of God's covenant, of which she has shown she's aware of. Again, I find myself challenged. Even during the struggles, I pray that we would maintain a faith that would give good testimony that we trust. There's never a time we should turn away from a faith in a God who is the maker of heaven and earth, who provides always. But haven't we all been right where Naomi is? Haven't we all been right where Naomi is? When we have lost loved ones, we lose our jobs, lose our homes, illness, sickness just pervades. Depression, when life, when the events of our life just seem to overwhelm us. Our faith suffers. Our relationship with God suffers. Sometimes we feel so distant. We go, God, where are you? Naomi, I know, sees no hope. She doesn't see a very good future. And so out of her agony, we hear this quandary that she's in. She says, call me bitter. Remember Naomi, her name means pleasant. She said twice, don't call me Naomi. There's nothing pleasant about where I am right now. She says, call me Mara. The word Mara means to be bitter or bitterness. She says, the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Another place that challenges me here about Naomi. She did not confess her sin. She did not confess anything of the wrongdoing of her family. She said twice that the Lord's hand is against me. The Lord has caused me to be bitter. Really? Again, I find challenging. Naomi is struggling in her faith. Bottom line, Naomi is struggling in her faith because life has not turned out the way she wanted it, the way she planned it. Life is not good. And so she struggles. She needs help. She needs someone, something, somebody to come to her rescue. She needs a redeemer. And folks, here is the point of the whole story. This is why we have the story of Naomi. This is why we have the story of Elimelech, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, of which I'll save Ruth and her part of all this until Mother's Day next week. But this is why we have the story of Naomi here. This is the human condition. Naomi, the Holy Spirit, through telling us the story of Naomi, is reflecting to us the human condition. Who in this room is not in great need of a redeemer? Who in this room is not in great need of a helper? Can you get through this life alone? Can you get through this life in your own wisdom, resolving all of your problems yourself? No. We as humans struggle through this life. We struggle through living a life of faith, just as Naomi is. We struggle in our faith to do the right thing. When the challenges of life turns, we struggle. We try to do the right thing. We think, taking these steps, that would be good. We saw Elimelech do that. Cost him. Then the story of Naomi reveals that we cannot do this on our own. That we need a helper. We need a redeemer. We need, from the deepest, darkest part of our hearts, a Savior. As we will see, Naomi gets one. His name is Boaz. Who is our Redeemer? What redeems us in this life? Our wisdom? Our thinking through our issues and saying, let's do this. No. We need help. Psalm 121 that I've referred to about four times in this service already. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord, not from our wisdom, not from family advice, not from Dr. Phil, not from the latest psychology, not from the latest teachings of sociology. They all fall short. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now please understand the rest there. It is not a relaxation away from the events. It is rest in the confidence of a provider in midst of the issue. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. If I have rest in my soul, I can tackle about any issue that comes about. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, living a life of faith is a struggle. Judy and I had it pretty well. We both came from poor families, but we didn't know. But then getting married, we struggled along. But living through life, raising two girls, no big issues. Until we made the commitment to go to seminary and then to go into ministry. And life got hard. But you'll say, isn't living a life for Jesus Christ supposed to be good and joyous and the blessings and all of that? No. Joy, yes. Joy in understanding the provider that gives me the confidence and the assurance that come whatever this life may give me, I have already won. I've already won. I just simply have to remember who the Redeemer is, who the Provider is. It's not my strength. And you know me, I'm pretty hard-headed. I'm pretty controlling, dictating, powerful. But yet I learned so many times what I can't do. Turn loose and give it to Jesus. The consequences may be very difficult, but difficult in obedience is much, much better than easier against God. I'd like for us to spend some time in prayer as we close. As I mentioned last week, I asked you to pray that prayer that I referred to earlier out of Ephesians. There is much going on in and about the families, the people of this church. There's much going on in this church. I thank God bringing us to the book of Ruth at this time is the timeliness that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And what He has brought to us is that we cannot go off in our own wisdom. We cannot go off in our own strength. We must rely on that which we will see here in the next chapter, and that is the introduction of a Redeemer. In the book it is Boaz, but we know Boaz to be the foreshadowing of Christ. Folks, if we have need, it is only Jesus Christ that is the answer.